Lot, her husband, was a righteous man, and really she went along with her husband's religion. She didn't oppose her husband's religion. And when he left the city of Sodom, led by the angels, she went with him. And up until now, you would think that Lot's wife was a godly woman, a good believer. But remember, the angel of the Lord had clearly told them, don't look back. And she couldn't obey that. She looked back, and the scripture says that she was instantly struck dead, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, remember Lot's wife. Remember. It's a solemn warning, in other words. He doesn't say, remember Abraham or Jacob or Sarah or Ruth. He names one whose soul is lost forever. When we consider that in this chapter of Luke, chapter 17, the Lord is speaking about his second return, his second coming. He's speaking about the time that will come when he will judge the world. And he's describing the terrible, terrible state of unreadiness in which many are going to be found. And we must remember, the one giving the warning is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is full of mercy, full of compassion, the one who will not snuff out a smoldering wick, the one who will not discard a bent reed. He, Jesus, is the one who prayed for the very ones that put the nails through his hands. Yet he found it right and fit to give this warning. He thinks it's good to warn us and say, remember, remember Lot's wife. We are looking at lessons that Lot's wife can teach us. As we get closer to the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ, one thing will increase in the earth, and that is darkness and worldliness. And even worldliness is increasing in the church. Churches are becoming more and more worldly. And yeah, in these scriptures, there is a safeguard against this terrible disease of compromise that's all around us. We can learn lessons from Lot's wife. And there are three points which he highlights. And I want to just mention these three points, and we will cover them. Number one, Lot's wife had many Christian privileges or religious privileges. She enjoyed privileges. Number two, we will speak about the sin which Lot's wife committed. And number three, we will speak about the judgment which God inflicted upon her, the punishment that came upon her. Now, number one, what do I mean by religious privileges that Lot's wife enjoyed? I mean this. In the days of Abraham, true saving religion was very scarce upon the earth. There were no Bibles, there was no internet, there was no radio, there was no TV, there were not even books. The knowledge of God was confined to only a handful, a few privileged families. Most of the people were living in darkness and in sin and in ignorance and in superstition. Very few had the knowledge that Lot's wife had. Very few heard the truth that Lot's wife heard. She was a favored woman. Very few. Her husband, Lot's wife, her husband was a righteous man, a good man. And her uncle, Abraham, was her uncle, the father of the faithful. Imagine living with her. She dwelt with them. Abraham's religion was no secret. His faith was no secret. He lived by convictions. He lived a good life in front of her. She had a practical example. She saw what it is to be a believer. Yet it's very sad that although she had these great privileges and she saw all this and she heard all this, it didn't seem to profit her. It didn't seem to help her at all. It left her graceless, unrepentant, and unbelieving. In other words, her eyes were never opened, and her conscience was never aroused and quickened. Later on, Lot's wife was almost saved. She had left the city, so she was on her way to being saved. The angel was leading them out, but she looked back. She didn't just look back. She looked back with longing, with favor, and regard for all that which she had left. Her affections were back in Sodom. Her affections were not for the Lord. Her heart was not for the Lord. Her heart was back at her home with her friends, with her belongings, with her things. She didn't really value and treasure the things of God at all. She just did what was expected of her, what the others did in Lot's house. She just copied them. She did it. She knew what to say. She knew when to say amen. And she didn't seem to oppose Lot's religion at all. Yet, in all her pretense, her heart was wrong in the sight of God. The world was in her heart, and her heart was in the world. She lived like this, but the sad thing is, she also died like this. One of the lessons that we learn is that today there are many people that are like Lot's wife. They are mere talkers, mere professors. You ask them, "Are you born again?" They say, "Yes, I'm saved. Jesus is my Lord." Those people may even live in the full sunshine of a godly example. Maybe they are children that have got godly parents, or a godly husband, or even their father, or is a pastor. They may even listen to much good preaching on the internet, on the radio, on the television, and they may have much knowledge of Bible truths, and they may even go to church and hear sound preaching, yet they are still unconverted people. Their heart, their affection is not for the Lord. Their affection is for the worldly things, for gain, for treasure, for what they can touch and feel and own and lock away at night. And the end of these people is like Lot's wife. They will be lost forever, just like Lot's wife was lost. It's a huge mistake to think that because we are close to godly people, or because we live with godly people, that we are converted. Gehazi, he was the servant of God's servant. He was a man who was with the prophet all the time, but his heart was not right within him, and he perished. Another example is Demas. Demas was Paul's companion. He was with the apostle Paul, very close to him, serving him. You would have thought that Demas would have been a good man, but Demas abandoned Paul in Rome. I was reading, why did he abandon him? Because he was afraid that he would get punished and get persecuted like Paul was persecuted. He wasn't willing to give his all to the Lord. And then, of course, the example we are speaking about is Lot, who had a worldly, unbelieving wife. Now, sadly, all of these that I've mentioned died in their sins. They went down to the pit. They went down to hell in spite of all that they knew and in spite of who they knew. And in spite of all the opportunities that they had, they were so close to men of God. But they never bowed and they never surrendered to God. They never turned from the things that they knew were wrong. And they never produced any Christian fruit. This is one of the things that we must remember. We must be fruitful Christians. We must value the opportunities and privileges that God has given us. We don't rest upon them. We never put them in the place of Christ. If we have these opportunities in our lives, we must be careful to let them produce fruit. We must be careful to let them bring good in our lives. If we do not, if we refuse to take heed of these opportunities that we get along the way, instead of doing good and producing fruit in us, they will produce positive harm in us. They will produce negative things in us. They will make our hearts cold and hard. They will make our consciences hard and unsensitive. They make us harder and harder. The more we refuse the things of God and the servants of God and the Word of God, the harder and harder we will become. In the notes that in the book, there's a little line that says, "The same fire that melts the wax also hardens the clay. And the same sun that causes the living tree to grow causes the dead tree to dry up and become firewood." Nothing hardens and dries the heart and makes it more barren than rejecting God's truth. Whenever we reject God's truth, haven't you seen people hear the word of God? They hear the gospel preached to them clearly. And you can see that it's touching their hearts, but they won't bow their heart. They won't bow their knee. And they become harder and harder and harder. And eventually, that a terrible end can come. Every time we are familiar and treat lightly God's word and God's ways, it's not a matter of having all these privileges. It's really a matter of God's grace in our hearts. When we feel the stirring in our hearts, we need to submit to the Lord. It's a matter of receiving a new heart in Christ Jesus. Some people, month after month, they come to church, they hear the gospel, they hear the gospel persuasively proclaimed, but they never respond. They never go to the Lord in prayer. They never ask for forgiveness. They never believe. And they never come to Christ. They keep coming to church. They keep hearing their favorite preacher. But they also keep doing their favorite sins. They don't turn from their sin. If you are this kind of person, take care and remember Lot's wife. That is the warning that the Lord is giving to those type of people. There's no grace in their hearts. Their hearts are cold and barren. And really, they are no better than Lot's wife was. We must have repentance of our own. You cannot repent on behalf of somebody. You cannot ask somebody, repent for me. There are certain things that we have to do ourselves. When you were a young child, you had to learn the ABC. Nobody could learn the alphabet for you. You had to learn it for yourself. And you cannot ask somebody to serve the Lord for you. You have to serve the Lord with all your heart yourself. You've got to repent yourself. You've got to ask the Lord to forgive you yourself. You have to have your own faith in Christ Jesus. You have to have your own sanctification. You have to have your own walk with Christ. You have to have your own knowing. You have to know Christ yourself. You have to know him. This is eternal life, that you may know him. Lot's wife had many privileges, but Lot's wife never responded and bowed her heart to these. She didn't allow grace to work in her heart. The love of her heart was the world, not the Lord. She didn't seek first the kingdom of God. She sought first her pleasure and her ways. God is good and full of mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. Psalm 145 and verse 9. But thou, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. But we must remember and not forget that God is not only a God of grace, he's also the judge of all the earth. He is also the one who is going to judge sin. And all these things that are written in the Word of God are written for our instruction, to teach us. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So God has given us these examples that we, for our learning, that we may have comfort and hope. I will move on to what is the sin? What is the sin that Lot's wife committed? Her sin is recorded in just a few words, a few simple words. And this is what the scripture says. She looked back. She looked back from behind her husband, and she became a pillar of salt. She looked back. That doesn't seem like a very serious offense. It seems like just a little sin. We wouldn't expect that such a harsh punishment would be given to somebody that just looked back. Although it seemed just a small thing looking back, it revealed the condition of her heart. It revealed her character. It revealed what was in her heart. For God looketh not at the outward appearance, but God looketh at the heart of man. And although it was just a little thing, for example, if you go to a big building, a highest building in Nanyuki, And the structural wall, you look at the structural wall, and there's a crack, just a small crack running across the wall. The engineer will not say, oh, it's just a small crack. In the engineer's mind, he will say that crack is there because something is wrong with the foundation. This building is in danger. It needs to be closed. It needs to be condemned. And although it's just a little crack, it reveals a much bigger problem. Although Lot's wife just turned back, it reveals the real problem. And the problem was that the foundation of her joy, the foundation or that which was in her heart was not right. She loved the treasures of Sodom, and her affections were not for the Lord. She sought not the Lord with her whole heart. She longed to go back. She longed for those things. She didn't long for the Lord. The scripture says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And this was the problem with Lot's wife. She loved the things of the world more than she loved the Lord. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. James 4:4. And then the other scripture I read was, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's 1 John 2 and verse 15. Although Lot's wife said she believed, she never really gave up the world. And we must learn the terrible danger that somebody is in when they refuse to give up love for the world and refuse to give up the things of the world. The warning is this, that the love of the world brings death. We cannot hold tightly to the world, to its possessions, to its principles, to its motives, and expect to follow God at the same time. The disciple of Jesus Christ has to let go of the things of the world. The disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ enjoys true fellowship with like-minded believers. Doesn't sit in church thinking, I wish this was over so I can go and be with my friends on the street or wherever. No, their joy is to be with the fellow believers. Their joy is to enjoy fellowship with other Christians. That's their first choice. That's what gives them joy. The new creation in Christ Jesus, this is what they like. This is what they want. Not the things of the world. Lot was rescued out of the city of Sodom. The angels came and took him by the hand and said, Lot, come quickly. The Lord is going to destroy. Now what if Lot said, no, I'm holding on. The angel's pulling him this way, saying, come out. And he's saying, no, I can't let go of my house. I have to hold on to my house. I need it. No, he had to let go of worldly things and follow and go out. And if our hearts are glued to the world, we will perish with the world. Remember Lot's wife. It's a frightful caution against unbelief, disobedience, worldly mindedness, contempt of God's threatenings, and keeping a constant love and a constant fellowship with people of impurity and wickedness. As a disciple, I worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The worshippers watch over themselves, and they are careful to have singleness of eye and singleness of heart towards the Lord, to the glory of the Lord. Their greatest affection is for the Lord, is for divine truth. Our great desire is to please Him who has redeemed us. We are not seeking human applause. We seek to please God and not man. My heart is full of gratitude, full of love, full of truth. These are the things that are of eternal value. These are the things that really matter. The new creation, or the one that says he is born again, craves eternal things. The new creation has his eyes on that which is above and not that which is beneath. It's not burdensome to them. It's not a hard thing to let go of the world. No, it's a joy. The motivation is to please the Lord. They love the Lord. They desire to be conformed into his image. Can we honestly say, that's my desire? I want to be like my Lord Jesus. I want that more than anything. If this is not our desire, if our desire is for worldly treasure, then sadly we are very similar to Lot's wife. Let me just say this. The scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be given unto you. You don't seek first the things and then give God the time that's left over. You seek God first with your whole heart, and he will give you that which you need to sustain you. He doesn't want you to go without. Now, in the last place, I will speak about the terrible, terrible punishment that was inflicted upon Lot's wife. Now, all of us, doesn't matter who we are, all of us will, at one time or another, we will die. Some of us, we may die with friends around us. Some of us, we may die calmly on our beds. Some of us, we may die with other believers meeting around us with the sound of prayer in our ears. Some of us, we may die with an assurance that we belong to the Lord, resting on the promises of the gospel promises. We may have a certainty, but all these, death is a solemn business. Death is very serious. It's a very difficult time. But how much more difficult for somebody, how terrible it is for somebody to die in the moment of time, in an instant, in the very act of sin. Doing what God told them not to do, that moment when they are disobeying God, their life is cut short and they caught away to God, even before they have even time to pray and ask God to forgive them. They are caught away in full health, full strength, and die directly disobeying what God told them not to do. This is what happened to Lot's wife. This is what happened to her. What a hopeless end for her. Her soul was lost. She was struck down in a moment of time without even an opportunity to pray. It is a hopeless end. She went totally, directly to hell. Great privileges, great opportunities that are spurned will bring great wrath upon the soul. Think of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. They heard God speaking on Mount Sinai. What a great privilege to hear the Lord speaking. Yet their hearts were so hard. They led a rebellion against Moses. And what happened? In a moment of time, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them and their households and the men who were for Korah and all of their goods. Today there are many people that hear the gospel message proclaimed. It touches their hearts, but they say, no, no, another time I will. Perhaps when I'm old and gray, perhaps when I'm on my deathbed, I will call on the Lord. But now I'm young. I've got my life before me. I cannot serve the Lord. You rebel and you refuse to hear and you harden your heart. You don't want to let go of your treasured sins. Beware, your life is not cut short suddenly like Lot's wife. Perhaps the earth won't open its mouth and swallow you. But if God were to remove his grace from us, in an instant, our life would end. And it would be such a tragedy to go directly to him with sin still on our hands. Oh, serve the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 96, verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Tremble before him. Reverence him. Have awe of him. Oh, respect the Lord. Let me give you another example of two men that had great privilege. Their father was the high priest, Eli. Eli was the high priest, and these two boys, they were the sons of God's high priest. Now, the Bible speaks about Eli's sons, and it says, Eli's sons were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. That's 1 Samuel 2 and verse 12. This term, Belial, it means worthless. The sons were worthless, and they were wicked sons. They were men of greed and lust, and they died suddenly in their sin, both of them in the same day. Another New Testament example of two people that died directly in their sin was Ananias and Sapphira. They joined the church in the days when the apostles were working miracles, when the word of God was preached so clearly. What a privileged time to see and hear the apostles preaching. Yet they lied before the Lord. Yet they were instantly struck dead and went to the Lord. But they all sinned, all these that I've mentioned, they all sinned with a high hand against the light and the knowledge of the Lord. They were all suddenly destroyed without remedy. They had no time or space for repentance. As they lived, so they died. And they were hurried away to meet God. They went with all their sin upon them, unpardoned, unrenewed, and totally unfit for heaven. What a terrible, terrible thing to happen. This is why the Lord says, remember Lot's wife. Yes, we know God is a God of grace. Psalm 103 and verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Let's never take it for granted, but let us serve him with all of our hearts. Settle firmly in your mind that the same Bible which teaches us the mercy and compassion of God also teaches us that God will judge sinners. And it also teaches us that God hates sin. It is his very nature to punish sin and all who cleave to sin and all that refuse salvation. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 16, we all know it speaks of the wonderful love of the Father, for God so loved the world. Yes, we know God loves us, but we read in verse 36, John 3 and verse 36, and I will close with this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So we must remember we have a God of great compassion, but we also have a God who is a righteous God who will judge our sins. Oh, live a life before him that is right. Remember Lot's wife. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do not want to be a person who rejects you, Lord. We do not want to be lost in this world and have so many privileges and opportunities to know you and to be born again and die in our sin, Lord. Oh, Lord, those that are hardened their hearts against you, soften them, Lord. Draw them unto you, that they may know you and become new creations in Christ Jesus. We pray and believe and ask you for this in the name of the Savior, for his name's sake. Amen.